Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section.
Hello, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Psalm 47, Tehillim Mem Zayin. As I mentioned in the previous lesson, Psalms 46, Mem Vav, and 47, Mem Zayin, are a pair, where Psalm 46 is a prayer describing the global war that may be the harbinger of messianic times. Psalm 47 describes the aftermath with the accomplishment that the whole world accepts that God is their king. This idea of all nations flowing to Zion to hear the word of God is almost ubiquitous in such prophecies. And just as the final war, which is described in 46, is similar to the final war described in Zechariah 14, so too the acceptance of God's majesty in our Psalm 47 is also found in Zechariah 14. There in Zechariah it says, V'haya Adonai l'melech al kol ha'aretz, b'yom ahu yihyeh Adonai echad u'shmo echad. Famously, and the Lord will be king of the entire world on that day. The Lord will be one and his name will be one. I.e., there will be global acceptance of moral monotheism and recognition that his seat of glory is, in fact, Jerusalem and the temple in Jerusalem. With this stated, the purpose of our psalm, which is recited before the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that is to this day, that is when it's recited, the Jewish New Year, essentially, that ceremony celebrates God as king of the world, or what is referred to as Malchuyot, and then the whole psalm in that light becomes very clear indeed. The war is over, the remnant that survived the war is alive and holy, messianic times have arrived, God is king not only of Israel but of the entire world, which explains why the holiday celebrated afterwards in Zechariah 14 is Sukkot, or the festival of booths, which comes 2 weeks after Rosh Hashanah, and as we will see, is a international holiday. Anyway, starting the actual psalm, Lam Natseach Livnei Korach Mismor, for the Maestro, a psalm by the Korachites. Kol ha'amim tik'u chaf hariu le'lohim b'kol rina. O all of you nations, make noise, a tekiah, with your hands. Call out, a teruah, to God with sounds of joyous song. Shades, of course, of shofar blowing, even though they're using their mouths and their hands. Ki Adonai Elyon Nora Melech Gadol al Kol Haaretz. Because, or perhaps better, confirm and sing out and make noise that, ki, meaning that, the Lord is ascendant, the Lord is awesome. Remember the same name for God, Elyon, it was used in the preceding psalm as well, confirm that God is the great king of the entire world. Melech Gadol Alkol Elohim. Yadber Amim Tachtenu Ulumim Tachat Ragleinu. He will, that is God will, subject the nations, literally lead them beneath us, and he will subject the peoples beneath our feet. That means in the coming order, the nations will be placed under our rule, but not placed there for political purposes, but so that they will learn the laws of God, as the nations say in the beginning of Isaiah chapter 2, V'yorenu midrachav, we will learn from his ways, v'nilchav orchatav, and let us go in his paths, ki mitzion teitzei Torah, because out of Zion comes instruction, udvar Adonai, and the word of God, mirushalayim, comes out of Jerusalem. Getting back to our psalm, yivchar lanu et nachalatenu et geon Yaakov asher ahev selah. He, God, will set aside our inheritance, our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved, selah. The inheritance is not only the land, but the religion, the laws, and the central place of worship. That is the pride of Jacob. Note that it all ties back to Jacob, which explains why God is called the God of Jacob in the previous psalm, and in fact in very many messianic psalms. It was Jacob who first created a permanent dwelling for God. He anointed it and he rebuilt it when he came back from his uncle Laban from exile. So the proto prototype for a temple, the place where everyone, including the nations, could come to search out to find God. This was Jacob's invention, so therefore it's called the Pride of Jacob. And that, in fact, is why God loves him, Asher Ahav Selah. Although Asher Ahav could be referring to the Nachala, or the land, or the temple, I think it means that it is Jacob who God loved, because Jacob came up with this wonderful invention which allows all people to come together to search out what God wants and desires. Allah Elohim bitruah Adonai b'kol shofar. God ascends with a call, a teruah. The Lord ascends to the sound of a shofar. Note that both primary names of God are used. God, Elohim, which is a universalistic God, and also God the Lord, Yud-Keh-Vav-Keh, the Shem Adnut, the four-letter name of the Lord, which is a personal covenantal God. And this completes the promise in Zechariah. On that day, God will be one and his name will be one. That is, the idea of God as an Elohim, as a judge of all of the world, and as a Yud-Keh-Vav-Keh, as a personal covenantal God, that gets combined together into, a single point, so to speak, and God is comprehended as both at once, and that he is not only ours, but he is such for the entire world. Zamru Elohim Zameru. Zamru the Malkinu Zameru. Sing to God, you all. Sing. Sing to our king. That is not only ours, but yours and ours. Sing. Ki melech kol haaretz Elohim Zamru maskil, because, or again, probably sing that, ki is that, God is the king of the entire world, sing a maskil. Now, we still don't know exactly what a maskil is, although we have seen a lot of them come out from the Korachites, so apparently it was a popular type of psalm by the Korachites, and perhaps, as I said before, it means sing a teaching song, sing a song which teaches understanding, from the word seichel, or wisdom or knowledge. Malach Elohim al goyim Elohim yashav al kisei kocho. God reigns over nations. Now don't be fooled by the seeming past tense of the verb malach. As I've said in Tehillim, in Psalms, this may be what's called the confidence tense, something that will surely happen even though it hasn't happened yet. Or very often it should just really mean the forever tense, which is past, present, and future. Getting back to the verse, God sits on his holy throne. And note that the word yashav does not really mean to sit literally in this context, but it means to rule, to be sitting like a king. And this is evident by the famous verse, Vayeshev Hashem Melech Leolam, and God sits ruler of the world, which really means God rules as king of the world. Finally, the prophecy of Zechariah 14 and Isaiah 2 and many others, the prophecy of nations streaming to Jerusalem to accept God and to accept his moral Torah, is affirmed. Nidivei amim ne'esafu am Elohei Avraham ki lelohim magine eretz me'od na'ala. Princes, rulers of nations have gathered, as has the nation of the God of Abraham, because the guardians, Magini Eretz, the guardians, which are the princes and the rulers of this world, belong to God. He is the most ascendant. That is, even though there are rulers in the world, both amongst us and amongst the nations, we all get together to recognize that he is the highest of them all. He is the ultimate king. And this explains what is done every Rosh Hashanah. On that universalistic new year, the nation of Jacob calls out to all the other nations to recognize God's majesty, and to recognize that his people are Israel, and to recognize that his place is on the holy mountain in the temple. And should the Mashiach stick, in our coming days, God willing, very soon, we will greet all of those nations for that holiday of the 70 nations, with its 70 sacrifices, the holiday of the Feast of Booths, the holiday of Chag HaSukkot, and therefore it should be of little surprise to us that the next psalm that we're about to do, Psalm 48, is how it describes how all the kings of all the nations came to see and or are overwhelmed by the beauty that is by the beauty that is Jerusalem. They are overwhelmed by its righteousness, by its justice, by its loving kindness, or in Hebrew, its tzedek, its mishpat, and its chesed, as we will see tomorrow in Psalm 48.